Audacity. Who gave you attitude? In this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup, with the respiratory hospital in Castries overwhelmed, St. Lucia likely to follow Grenada's lead in implementing an ethics committee to ration medical services. And other developments from Barbados, St. Kitts and Nevis, Dominica and Jamaica. The news coming right up. But first, in Antigua, residents flocked over the weekend to get jabs ahead of the imposition of the new vaccination mandate that comes into effect today. Close to 700 people received their COVID-19 vaccine shots on Saturday. The mandatory vaccination policy sparked a near confrontation between the government and one trade union, as Observer Radio reported on Sunday. Here's Observer's Teresa Goodwin.
Workers in the public and private sector who are either fully or partially vaccinated are being advised to report to work on Monday and ignore recommendations from union representatives to remain at home. Prime Minister Gaston Brown issued the advice on the weekend following pushback from trade unions opposing the new vaccine mandate.
All of you private sector workers, so you work for the hotels and so on, statutory organization, I said to you all, do not listen to those political people in the Antigua Workers Union. Well, literally, they're playing, what should I say now? They play with people's lives and livelihoods. And we have to understand too, you know, that the AW is closely aligned to the UPP. So they are literally carrying out political directives from the UPP, and they're literally playing with people's lives. They're playing politics. You got to see it, because if you go and give up your job irresponsibly in this guava crop over some kind of foolishness about vaccination, when you don't have a whole heap of vaccinations in your body already. Fact is, all of us would have had health problems or may not be alive if we didn't have vaccination. If you go and follow me, you lose your work. Where are you going to get work from? Who's going to employ you?
The government declared last week that the people within the public and private sector, the public sector, that is, in statutory corporations, must get vaccinated or lose their jobs. This has ignited a firestorm with trade unionists threatening protest in response. The Antigua Trades Labour Union was the first to advise workers in a release to remain at home on Monday and Tuesday. But the Prime Minister had said the police will be called in to strictly enforce the policy. He also claimed that the ATNLU has changed its stance on the threat to protest.
I also want to commend the ATNLU for changing its position. I saw them put out a press release telling their members that they should report to work even though they're unvaccinated. I promptly responded in public that, you know, all unvaccinated workers who violate the regulations and report to work, that it will be escorted off the premises by law enforcement, that we give instructions to that effect. I understand they subsequently said that all workers should stay home Monday and Tuesday. So again, we had to respond and to remind them that it is illegal for workers under the Essential Services Act, you know, to violate the act by not going to work. So we had to send messages to the executive of the Antigua Trades and Labor Union to let them know that any time at all, they encourage the people to stay home, the essential services people, workers, that we're going to take legal action against them, that will enforce the provisions of the law. And I see just today they reversed the position, and they have now given instructions that essential services workers should go to work, and that's the right thing to do.
A stark reality looms in the latest phase of the COVID pandemic, according to St. Lucia's Medical and Dental Association. The respiratory hospital there is overwhelmed, with more than 90% of the hospital's 123 beds occupied last weekend, and more sick patients continue to pour in. It's feared in Castries that an unabated COVID surge could require an ethics committee to ration medical services, as has been done in Grenada. That concern is explained in this MBC Prime News report.
In Grenada, where health authorities say a third of the population could contract the virus in the next 14 days, mobile morgues have been set up in anticipation of a soaring COVID-related death rate. Grenada authorities have established a so-called ethics committee to decide which of their patients are most in need of medical care. St. Lucia, according to the SLMDA president, Dr. Merle Clark, may have to follow suit if the local COVID infection rate associated with a deadly Delta surge does not subside.
We need to remember that it's not just a question of COVID-19, that if hospitals are overwhelmed with COVID-19 patients, then other patients requiring care and healthcare services are also impacted. You see stories from around the world of patients who might have had a heart attack or stroke or any other pathology that we see every day who had to be turned away because there were no beds available. Those are the realities that we're facing. So the idea of an ethics committee and everybody being outraged is really just an official something on paper. Those are the realities that we are going to face, and in the sense that we are facing. If we do not do our part and stem the steady rise in cases of COVID-19, where we've seen patients who are sicker than they have ever been, we are going to be overwhelmed. Some of our physicians and nurses and other healthcare providers are going to get tired and are also going to get sick.
St. Lucia's COVID-19 response officials continue to appeal for sustained adherence to government infection control measures as the deadly Delta variant claims more lives. Since March 2020, more than 10,000 people have contracted the virus. Over 4,400 COVID-positive diagnoses were confirmed in the last 7 weeks alone. More than 45 people have succumbed to COVID-19 related complications since July 25th. To deal with an influx of COVID-19 related hospital admissions, the Health Ministry has had to construct a makeshift ward outside of the crowded respiratory hospital compound. Rihanna Isidore, NBC Prime.
The Barbados Health Minister Geoffrey Bostick announced on Saturday that there was widespread community transmission of COVID-19 and that the country was being impacted by the Delta variant. According to Barbados Today, Bostick also disclosed that many clusters exist in the south of the island. He was speaking during an address to the nation, stating that the latest figures presented showed that 14 families ranging from 2 to 7 persons had been impacted. He said 142 families had been affected from the 1st of August to September 17. He said too that today's positives also come from about 14 communities across the southern half of the island. The minister also spoke about the lives that had been lost due to COVID-19, especially those occurring over the last few days. He described that as a concern because the government is trying desperately to protect lives to save lives. Barbados had 6 deaths within the past week. St. Kitts and Nevis at 38 is towering in all areas of development and democracy through adaptation, diversification, and recreation, according to Prime Minister Timothy Harris. He was delivering the country's independence anniversary address on Sunday as the two island federations celebrated its 38th anniversary of political independence from Britain. Dr. Harris said 38 years on, St. Kitts and Nevis can look back at a remarkable record of growth and national achievements. He said that although many countries preceded Basta in becoming independent states, St. Kitts was able to move with alacrity national development goals. We made tremendous leaps in public health, education, infrastructure, economic transition, trade and international relations, human rights, sports, and culture, Prime Minister Harris said.
We are constantly being rated among the best in the region across so many international developmental indices: literacy rate, per capita income, rule of law, debt to GDP ratios, ICT indicators, transparency and good governance are some examples of areas in which we have been leading our peers.
As indicated at the beginning of this report, the St. Kitts Nevis Independence Anniversary is being celebrated under the theme Adapt, Diversify, Recreate Independence 38. Premier of Nevis, Mark Brantley, who is also a senior minister in the Bastia-based federal government, said in his address that the theme should help focus on a quick recovery of the economy and livelihood, as well as safeguard the progress and prosperity of St. Kitts and Nevis.
In essence, This theme encapsulates the elements needed for us to navigate our present state of affairs and get beyond this COVID-19 crisis. As a young nation, we are small, natural resource challenged, and vulnerable. It will require all of our creative energies, innovation, intellect, and long-term strategic planning if our recovery is to be durable and resilient. Our goal ought not simply to be about a quick recovery of our economy and livelihood, but it also should be about safeguarding our progress and prosperity for the long term. If we adapt, diversify, and recreate now, we will be much better placed to build back better post-pandemic.
A Dominican media broadcaster, Granbarian Urban Dangleben of Radio Abamago, says he and others from the community are disappointed with the government decision to name the Grand Bay Primary School after deceased government minister Edward Regist. In a commentary on the matter, Dangleben says he is not against some other important hallmark in Granby being named after Regist. However, he says there is someone more deserving of the primary school carrying his name. Dangleben identifies that individual as Reland St. Luce. He argues that the school, which was granted to Dominica and Granby in the late 70s by the Canadian government, was done so under the leadership of St. Luce.
The Granby Primary School, which was granted to us in the late 70s, is by the Canadian government to Granby under the leadership of the late legendary Honorable Reland St. Luce, then a candidate for the Labour Party under the leadership of Oliver LeBlanc. This school should be named after the late legendary Honorable Reland St. Luce and not Edward Regis. Mr. Edward Regis, the Honorable, deserve to be recognized and to have any structure named after him, for he has contributed vitally towards the development not only of Granby but of the country in general. But the primary school, which was given to us under the leadership of the legendary Honorable Reland St. Luce, should be named after Mr. Reland St. Luce and not Edward Regis.
The childhood home of Bob Marley and Bonnie Wheeler went up in smoke on Saturday. The burnt house was all that was left of the literal birthplace of reggae music under the yard once occupied by reggae icon Bob Marley, his family, and Bonnie Wheeler. More from CVM News.
Fire raised the building early Saturday morning. One eyewitness who spoke off camera recalls what transpired.
Heard fire like popping, you know, like when you catch fire and it a catch up. It a catch your ear, the fire pop like. Wasn't really paying much because the next door neighbor, living on the same building as well, he was out in his yard sweeping and singing, so I thought it was he that put some garbage together and was catching the fire.
According to her, a man who is said to be mentally unstable was asleep on the second level of the building.
When I came up to find the day, it was the heat. And then I really spin around to look up, and when I look, the whole on that side, the fire just was everywhere, from our room and just a spread up there. But the ill gentleman was still up there in the house sleeping, not knowing.
Meanwhile, Member of Parliament for the South St. Andrew constituency, Mark Golding, says there were already plans to relocate the residents from the building and renovate the structure as it has fallen into a dilapidated condition.
So I'm hoping that the project will continue. And, you know, we need to try and expedite it because we've been working on it for over 2 years now. And just getting all the wheels to turn at the same time in the same direction hasn't been easy. But, you know, what happened today, there's an additional impetus to try and get it done.
Golding says he intends to mobilize some support for the families that have been displaced. He notes that the community is vulnerable to fires due to the decayed buildings and the lack of investment in housing in inner cities.
We really need to have a major program to improve the infrastructure. We have sewage issues, major sewage issues. The sewage system is old and was built at a time when the numbers of people living in the community were much less.
Robeanne Williams for CVM Live.
The Miami-based U.S. National Hurricane Center on Sunday issued advisories on recently upgraded Tropical Storm Peter, located several hundred miles east of the northernmost Leeward Islands. The center is also monitoring newly formed Tropical Depression 17. In relation to Peter, it is forecast to turn northwest and then northward into the central Atlantic. That track should take the storm north of the Lesser Antilles during the week. The storm is unlikely to gain much strength amid unfavorable upper-level winds and dry air. parts of the northern Leeward Islands, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands could see some peripheral impacts from Peter. Locally, heavy rain is possible through Tuesday, and Peter will also generate high surf. More on Tropical Storm Peter from the Weather Channel.
In case you haven't heard, we have another tropical storm. This is Peter. It is east of the Lesser Antilles in the Atlantic. And fortunately, it's encountering a lot of shear and is looking pretty disheveled. Now it's moving to the west-northwest, and notice how it's going to be curving out into the Atlantic away from the U.S. Bermuda, though, you'll certainly want to keep your eye on it, but hopefully it's encountering enough shear and dry air that it will be a weaker system. Something we'll watch, though. We do have a front that is moving off the U.S. East Coast, and that is going to keep it out into the Atlantic. We also are watching TD-17. This is likely to become Tropical Storm Rose, probably over the next 24 hours or so. It will also be moving out into the Atlantic, encountering some not so great conditions, and because of that, probably by Tuesday, you're going to start to see it weakening. We are moving through the names, though. Potentially, we could have R pretty soon, and of course, we have a whole lot of the season left ahead of us.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, September 20th. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.